The following interview was recorded at the National Youth At-Risk Conference in Savannah, Georgia. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Lamar Darnell Shields.
What's up, Sound Bombing community? This is day two at the National Youth At-Risk Conference. Your man, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, back in sunny Savannah, Georgia. This is year 31 for the National Youth At-Risk Conference, and I'm always honored to be here doing this work. I just did another session on Beyond Stereotypes, engaging boys of color, about the film that I did and my research around African-American and Latino boys. And as I told you years ago, when I created Sound Bombing a couple of years ago, I created the show to highlight, to uplift, to bring to the stage, to the airways, some of the dopest people that I know. I have a database of folks who are just amazing. The work that they're doing, they're rock stars, they're part of this creative culture, they're inspiring us to do our best and live our best. And a couple of years ago, I met this brother at this conference, and that's why I love coming here. I met this brother, Miss Omega Sci-Fi. I remember he was going into this workshop. The class was really, really small, but he had a big personality, and I knew that classroom would be too small for this brother because he has a big personality. You all probably know him. And at the time, my buddy David and I, we ran the Urban Leadership Institute. And we were here, we were just getting started. I guess we were considered like young OGs. We were probably three years in. We were like the hip hop guys. We had written this curriculum with Afeni Shakur, Tupac Shakur's mom, and we were called the hip hop guys. And we were outside of the room and we saw this brother going in. He had an entourage. Again, he was in a small room, but he had a big personality. And I told this brother, I said, hey, take that room, run with it, let them know who you are, leave your legacy here. And I must say, he is one of the people that get calls every year here. Myself, Brother Hotep, there's several of us that get calls every year. This brother is an Omega man. I didn't call him a Q dog. He's an Omega man. He's a graduate of a historically black college. He's a father, he's a husband. I like to call him my brother. We don't get a chance to see each other that often, but when we do, it's always love. Who am I talking about? You might have seen his brother on Family Feud. You might have seen him standing next to his Omega man, Steve Harvey. I'm talking about Mr. Impossible, my man, the Keith L. Brown is in the building. What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? I'm telling you, man, Sound Bombing.
Yeah, so bombing is a healing, brother.
The bombing, man. It's like the bomb in Gilead.
Come on, brother. Preach to me, man.
This is about the feeling of healing. The feeling.
Wait, why are you the first one to know what the bomb is, man? What? Come on. I forgot I was talking to a young preacher, deacon over here.
Listen, I'm here with Dr. Shields, and I like to say
Shields. You knew me before the doctor.
Oh, yeah, but Shields.
Yes.
Did y'all catch that? So listen, listeners. Shields.
That's what I do.
Them from ignorance, from low self-esteem.
Yes.
This is my brother, Keith L. Brown, Mr. Impossible here. Not impossible, Impossible. But I want y'all to know that this brother did not tell y'all he is also one of the godfathers of the National Youth at Risk Conference, because he actually, along with David Miller, opened the door for brothers like myself to be able to walk this path. I mean, there was a time when there wasn't a lot of diversity at the conference in terms of black men speaking. Yeah. And we looked up to this brother and these brothers, and they opened the door. So I've been doing this now about 15 years. But this brother is a trailblazer. I'm honored to sit before him, and I'm honored to sit before all of y'all. So I want to say this. to you all this morning. It is a trailblazing Tuesday. On yesterday, you had a magnificent Monday. Can I just say something about Monday, brother?
It's yours.
Let me say something about Monday.
It's yours.
Monday is like the most dreaded day of the week. So from now on, right, let me give y'all some bombing right now. Let me give y'all a bomb. Monday stands for this. My optimism now decrees a yes.
I like that.
Optimism now decrees a
yes. I'm over here shouting and you all can't see it.
I promise you.
I'm over here shouting.
You got to look
at that,
man.
I don't want people to see me in the wrong way and then shout.
This is amazing, man. just to sit here and the work that we're doing, we are building prospects, not suspects, across the world. We are internationally known, nationally recognized, and locally accepted for the work that we do. And so I'm just thankful to be here at the 31st Annual National Youth at Risk Conference. And I'm talking about restorative justice.
Restorative justice.
Not justice. Just us. Release, relax, reflect, and restore.
Now, I told you all that I am honored to have this guy. First of all, if you know me, I got a lot of energy. I'm constantly moving. So to get him just to sit still for a couple of minutes is a big deal. I knew I couldn't call him to do the interview. I knew I couldn't fly him to Maryland to come into the bomb shelter, but I knew that once I got here, I would have this opportunity to sit down with my brother, and we do go way, way, way back. We've gone through a lot of personal growing pains,
yes,
you know, professional growing pains, but as the psalmist said, I am still here, man. Mm. Let's talk about you getting started in this business. Man, tell our listeners your story.
Absolutely.
And why you decided to do this. I know you're an educator. A lot of people don't know that part,
right,
about you.
Right.
We know you travel all over the country, but let's start at the beginning. Let's go back. Let's go way, way, way,
sure,
back to the beginning of the Keith story.
The beginning of the Keith story actually starts in special ed. Mm. Yeah, most of my life I was labeled special ed. I remember being in a class of 35 and being
and they probably didn't
out.
Call it special ed during that time.
Oh, no.
They probably called you retarded.
Exactly.
You know,
slow learning,
slow
right?
Slow learning, yeah.
And I was hyper.
Oh, yeah. I'm all these other cold words.
I still got paperwork.
Yes.
You know, hyper. And what's so deep about it, I remember, man, a pivotal time in my life was third grade when my third grade teacher said, Keith L. Brown, you talk too much. Now I get paid to
now
talk.
Now you come on, brother, say
so
that, yes.
I get paid to
my
talk.
My neighbor used to say, she said, boy, you still running your mouth. I said, but I get a check with that.
Exactly.
That's a big difference.
And it was so real because I had those educators who poured into me, who poured into my life. And the beautiful part is, even though I was in special ed, man, I used to win spelling bees. I got... Fourth grade, I won in Jamaica, New York, a district-wide spelling bee. I keep these letters. My mom, I got that letter. I won the citywide speak-out contest in the eighth grade in special ed. Graduated male most likely to succeed in special
with
ed.
With all these labels.
With all these labels. And so what I do now is I let the young people know, no matter what you are, quote-unquote, labeled, you're not dumb, you're not stupid, you're brilliant. You just learn at your own pace. But we got to find the gift in these young people. See, my gift was speaking.
How do we
and
do
writing.
That? How do we find those hidden jewels?
We do what you do every day. We go the extra mile. We go the extra mile. And once you tap into what that child loves to do, then we mold that and we build that. And that's what you do. Because we don't focus on the labels, right? We focus on legacy. We focus on building legacy. So each and every child, I know there's some good in each and every child, and I'm willing to go the extra mile to find it.
So who was that person that saw that in you? The kid that was failing, kid,
yes,
that was the class clown,
absolutely,
the kids who talked too much. Who was that one person that said, I see something in you different.
Man,
I want to put you in a different
come
direction.
On. In the first grade, it was Miss Levy.
I love that.
Second
name.
Grade, that's it great. Was Miss Watson. Right? Second year was my third grade, it was Miss Singleton. Fourth grade, Miss Amanatides. In fifth grade, Miss Finkelstein made me the Black Bob Barker. And I would stand in front of the class and I would tell all the kids, come on down. You understand? Sixth grade, it was Miss Myers. What am I saying? I still remember these black and white women, these Jewish women, right? Who nurtured me, who loved me, who poured into me. I read Invisible Man in the 10th grade. It was my white English teacher named, yes, Ralph Ellison, my white English teacher named Mr. Robbins, Buzz Robbins. He's my Facebook friend today. I'm 51. He's about 80 years old.
So do you all hear that, listeners? Keith named all of his teachers, elementary school all the way to the high school level. I'm in Savannah, Georgia. Shout out to Miss Johnson, who I love.
Wow.
Miss Johnson lives here. She taught me in Chicago, but I didn't realize that she was from here. But her husband was from Chicago. Went to Savannah State, man. Played basketball.
SSU.
An icon there.
Yes.
And she still says, I'll call her. I'll go and see her. Every time I come in, she'll say, Man, your teacher don't move as fast as she used to, and your teacher doesn't do this. And I love it, going back to talk to her. She taught English. The days of, remember, diagrams, because you had an English major.
Oh, absolutely.
The diagram
and you had to.
And
you
I love to. Ms. Johnson, and we have these great conversations.
Yes.
She meant so much to me. Now, when I was in her class, didn't like her.
Right.
Couldn't say I went to Catholic school.
Oh, you already
she
know.
Taught everybody. She knew my brother, my sister, and my sister. Them. So she knew everything about. So I was the last one to get to her. And she said, listen, I done had three Shields. You the last. And her daughter, shout out to Selena Johnson, her daughter graduated with me.
Wow.
So to hear you say name, it's something about calling out those names.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of the kids that we come in contact with, even with social media, we don't get to see them. We
Thank
always
you.
Wonder, what happened to Keith? What happened to Lamar? So to hear that you say somebody poured into you. So for that teacher, administrator, counselor, imam, rabbi, minister, who's struggling with the little Keith in their program, what can you say to them to keep them moving and want to motivate that young person?
I would say to them, look for the light in that child, and what you're doing matters. And it's one of these things, it's almost like the bamboo tree. That the bamboo tree might spring up in three months.
Yes.
But it actually took about 5 to 10 years. And so what I want to say to all of those youth advocates, child and youth advocates, you might not see the growth right now, but they are growing. And we live in an era where they cannot admit that you're enlightening them, where they cannot openly admit that you're inspiring them, but you are. But trust me, you might be the reason that child does not commit suicide. You might be the reason that child does not drop out. You might be the reason that child is going to overcome every obstacle and go from impossible to impossible. And see, I want you to understand, if I may focus just on that word for a moment, impossible and impossible. The only thing you do, Brother Shields, the only thing you do is you take an apostrophe and you put it between the I and the M. And it changes the entire meaning of the
Going
word.
Going back to English.
Yep, there you go. That impossible now becomes impossible. What do I mean? I want those educators out there, those youth advocates, all of you, those spiritual leaders to understand, you are that apostrophe. And you might seem like just a little thing, but you change the whole word. You change the whole meaning. You change the whole trajectory of this child or this young person. So I will say, don't give up. And I will say, don't give in. You know, there's a saying that says that my wife says, she's an elementary school principal, man. And she always says, if we can build children, we won't have to repair adults. If we can build children, we won't have to repair adults.
Very similar to Frederick Douglass. He talks about broken children.
Having
broken men.
Absolutely. And so in my session today, man, it was so deep. I asked all the men who've ever been told that real men don't cry. I had them to stand up. And they stood up, black, white, Latino. They stood up. And I said, how did you feel? And most of them said, well, I trusted the person who told me.
Liberated, I'm sure.
You're right. Yeah. So then when they finally, and then they stood up and somebody said, I felt detached. Somebody said, I had to hold my feelings in, so I became angry. Somebody else said, that's how I learned to fight, because I had to keep it in. So what we have to stop doing is dehumanizing our young boys of color and our young men of color, and letting them know crying is a human emotion. When somebody tells Lamar Shields not to cry, they are dehumanizing you, man. That's a human emotion. You're not an animal. You are a human being. And many times they don't see us as humane because they take humanity from us. So we cannot keep taking humanity away from our young boys of color and then expect them to be humane at the same time. So I'll just say this. Let them express themselves. Let them get those feelings out. And then you soothe them and you comfort them. And then that's how they will learn to man up, because then they can be good husbands and good fathers and good mentors. When I say fathers, I mean F-A-T-H-E-R-S, not F-A-R-T-H-E-R. Did you hear that?
Right. I heard it, brother.
Heard that,
say
brother?
It again, because they may be listening in the car driving.
There you
slow.
Go. I said, when we don't take their humanity and we liberate them and allow them to be human, they will grow up to be good fathers, F-A-T-H-E-R-S, not F-A-R-T-H-E-R, who are detached. Because you know what I'm saying, brother. You are a great father. You understand? I would like to believe that I'm a great father.
Yes.
But we're not just fathers to our children. We are fathers to the children that we see on the street corners. People, what program are you in? Keith L. Brown? What mentoring program? The streets.
Yes.
I mentor everywhere. I mentor, and you do the same. And so to be at the National Youth at Risk Conference, man, and to have these packed rooms of people that are coming to soak up what we have to give them, man. It's just a blessing.
Speaking of mentors, I know you and I both have a love for a guy named Les Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in college, I never won anything in my life, man. I come home, graduate from college, call WGCI in Chicago.
Yes.
They got two tickets to see Les Brown. Go see Les Brown. My whole life has changed.
Yes.
And you also, you know, you have a love for Les Brown.
Absolutely.
What I want you to share, because we're talking about inspiration, we're talking about motivation.
Okay.
When Keith Brown is down.
Yes.
You know, when Keith Brown is feeling down and out, and Keith Brown needs somebody to lean on, and I preference Les Brown because both of us have modeled our speaking style is very emphatic about
Absolutely.
How he does, how he moves. Who motivates you? Who inspires you? Who makes the clown laugh, man? Who gives legal advice to the lawyer? Who teaches the teacher?
Yes.
Who preaches to the preacher? You know,
Absolutely.
Who prays with the imam and the rabbi? So when
yes.
Keith Brown is not feeling
yes.
that everything is possible, when Keith Brown has to pull himself out of bed to then go and engage or speak to 1,000 people and you don't want to do it, walk us through maybe who you listen to,
yes,
what you do,
yes.
and what that process is like.
Well, first of all, I go into a place of meditation. Someone asked me, what do you do when you're negative? Because you talk about negative people a lot. We're all negative at some time. I say that's typically the time where I'm by myself because I don't want to spread that negative energy to anybody. But I would say this, that I have a community of brothers, you being one of them, that I can, and we don't talk every day, like you said, but just to hear a word from you, man, I'm uplifted. I can watch a post on your social media, Brother Lamar, and I'm uplifted. But this is what I do, and I know most people would say, what about your wife or your mother? And that's fine. That's a beautiful thing. Those are the individuals who are supposed to do it for us, right?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about a circle of brothers. And I'm not just talking about fraternity brothers. I'm talking about a circle of brothers who I can cry with. I can lean on these brothers' shoulders, man. We hoop together. We fellowship. We have fun. But I lean
Keith
on these
Brown
brothers.
Hoops with the suit on, brother.
Man,
don't,
come
I
on,
forgot
brother.
You from New York,
come on,
man.
Brother.
I forgot.
You better understand. I got, man,
don't
I
get
still,
it twisted.
Got,
you still
I
got.
Still got that three-point shot. I ain't never played at the Rucker, but you know.
You
I could have been
the Rucker,
there.
Man.
I could have been there, brother. So that's what I do, yeah, Brother Lamar. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have a community of men. And
so
we
who are some people
you other.
Listen to? Like, are there some speeches? Some in-
oh,
who,
man.
Who
listen,
inspired? Give me some names
I
that you listen to.
I still listen to Les Brown.
Love Les.
Let me tell you, I love, and Les is battling cancer, man.
Yeah. And doing a great
and doing
job.
A great job of battling.
He was just on Tom Ballou's show,
oh,
the Impact
Man,
Band, talking
so,
about it. Yes.
Absolutely. So, man, listen, this is other brother, man, named Steve Furtick, man.
Okay.
Pastor Furtick, man. I love him. T.D. Jakes.
Oh, yes.
You know, I listen to the bishop. He's in my ear. In reality, can I keep it real?
Keep it real.
I listen to my son.
There we go.
We call him Attorney Keon J. Brown. He hasn't stepped in a law school yet, but we name it, claim it, and frame it. He's working in the government. He's doing that because his perspective now, because when he was growing up, I was a dictator. Now I'm a facilitator. See, when he was 4 years old, I was a dictator. I told him what to do at 14. I told him where you can go, but he's 24. And so now I'm a facilitator, and I listen to him, and to listen, and the love that he gives me, you know, as a son, telling me what's real, telling me, Dad, you need to slow down. Now, Dad, it's going to be all right. Dad, I got your back. When you hear this, so when you talk about, man, and I mean, that just brings me to tears right now, brother, because he gets it. He knows who Uncle Lamar is, Uncle Hotep. He knows. He gets it, brother. And so that's what just draws strength, man, for me, and my own pastor, man, Pastor Gary Taylor, man, Open Word Christian Ministries, brother, right there in Fairburn, Georgia. He's one of my spiritual fathers. And so, like I say, a community of men. Right? Because men don't often lean on men unless it's about sports or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I do, man. That's what I do.
So what's your why, man? Why doing this? Why why this? You could have stayed in the classroom. You
mm-hmm.
could have retired, you know, young, healthy,
capable. Yeah.
Why do this? Why travel? Listen. Why get in a plane and things could happen?
That's
why
right.
go through these ghettos and these barrios and threaten your life? Why travel outside the country when you could just be at home? What's your
Can
why,
Can I say
brother?
This, man? I believe this, and I say this. I'm sure you've heard this, and maybe your listeners have or have not. There are only two great days in your life, right, brother? When you were born and when you discover why you were born. And when you discover why you were born, that's called purpose. And I knew in 1999, when I was in one school in one classroom, the Creator was calling me, man,
to
step out on faith, to leap off the mountain. Like he said, grow my wings on the way down. And I haven't looked back since, man. And this is it. This is my why. You know why I know it's my why? Because I can't imagine doing anything else.
I can't imagine doing anything else. I don't cry doing anything else as hard as I cry working with these children and young people. I don't get the joy anywhere else like I do working with children and young people and their families and educators, man, across the world. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. When you just simply know, Lamar, that this is what your calling is, man, I'm so blessed, brother, because I'm walking in my calling. So people say, what happens if you fail, man? What is your plan B? I don't have a plan B. I have plan 1A, and I have 2A and 3A and 4A. But if I have a plan B, then that would imply that I'm not walking in my purpose.
So let's talk about failure. Yeah. What's your thoughts about failure? I'll share mine shortly, but what are your thoughts about failure? Because you have people say, you know, this whole mantra, and I would hear, you know, men say it when we're walking in, failure is not an option, failure is not an option. Then I think about Tavis Smiley. He wrote a book about the great failures in this country. And then I think about Thomas Edison, who talked about inventing the light bulb. You know, brother helped him out. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
He said it took me 1,000 ways to figure out you know, the failure. What's your thoughts about failure?
Well, look at the 409, man. How they said we failed 408 times. That's why we came up with the name 409. Failed 408 times. Well, let me tell you this. When I'm walking in my purpose and I don't save every child, and people say, man, I failed. No. I didn't fail. I might have come up a little short, but that's a lesson, brother. When we say failure is not an option, giving up is not an option. But there are going to be some times you take a L. One of my interns who's working at this conference, she ran for a sophomore class president. She lost. I said, no, you won. She said, what do you mean? I said, you won. I said, are you still going to serve? She said, yeah. So she came up with a program called, Can You Take an L and Still Serve? So that means she has the concept of winning, not because of, but in spite of. So failure to me is just when you throw in the towel. When you just throw in the towel and you walk away from your purpose, now you have failed. But let me tell your listeners this, because somebody out there, Brother Lamar, somebody ready to throw in the towel right now. But let me tell them what to do. Take that towel, and instead of throwing it in, cut it up into some little washcloths. You understand? Cut it up in some compartmentalized. You got too much on your plate. The towel is too heavy. Cut it up into some washcloths. Then you handle the professional. Then you handle the personal. But you got to cut it up. You got to compartmentalize. You got to have balance. You got to take your time. You got to make time to release, relax, restore some balance. So that's what you got to do. And then you will not throw in the towel because it's washcloth. So I got this, I got this, and I got this. So that's the key, man. The key is not giving up on yourself, not giving up on your purpose. And as long as you do that, you're not failing. On the back of one of my shirts, it says, I have two options. Either I'm going to make it or I'm going to make it.
Two options.
Did you hear what I said? I got two options.
Two options.
Either I'm going to make it. Or I'm going to make it.
Because people need another option.
That's right.
But the first option and the second option is the same option.
The same option. And so I...
You know, people live in that world like, people say something like, well, I tried everything. No, you haven't.
No, you haven't.
You tried what you know, but you have not tried everything.
Teach, brother.
So the option is...
Teach.
The other option is what the first option
That's
actually
it.
Is.
That's it. So that goes back when people tell kids, you need a plan B. I say, no, you don't. You need 1A.
Will Smith talks about that,
you
man.
Need, yeah. You don't need a plan... No. Because... Just to even put that concept in your mind is giving you an out to run away from your purpose. It's going to be hard, but you want it hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. That's it. You are promised that. You're going to have harvest and you're going to have droughts. There are sometimes, brother, and you know this, sometimes, some months I may have $30,000, $40,000 worth of income. And then I might not have nothing for the next 4 months. Do you understand? This is the reality of our purpose. This is the
Being
reality.
Being an entrepreneur.
Thank you.
A social entrepreneur.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we are socially conscious.
Yes.
And we don't apologize for that. Man, I'm an educational and social justice advocate and activist. So at the end of the day, man, the only way I believe you can fail is if you give up on what you were called to do.
Well, we don't want our listeners to fail. And if they do, then they can start all over again. Like Aaliyah says in her song, dust yourself off and start over again. Brother, I can talk to you forever. How can our listeners, I told you he's on fire. How can our listeners get in contact with you?
You can get in contact with me on Instagram at Keith L. Brown. That's K-E-I-T-H, Keith L. Brown _. Facebook, Keith L. Brown 1911, Keith L. Brown, Mr. Impossible. Twitter, Keith L. Brown 1911, website keithlbrown.com. But now, don't follow me if I'm not worth being followed.
Yeah.
See, a lot of y'all just following people
don't follow me unless my example is worth following me. But I promise if you do follow me, you will be empowered. You will be enlightened. You will be engaged. You will be off the chains and never in the chains.
We like that. So, Keith, thanks for joining me on location at the National Youth Advocates Conference. We are in Savannah, Georgia at the Hyatt. I also want to thank my producer, Alec Blanc, my music producer, Supremacy, and for all you all listening. As I always say, do something for someone other than yourself today. You've been listening to Sound Bombing. Peace.